Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What must I do to be saved? How can I be in heaven? If I were to die tonight, where would I go? These are all questions that people ask themselves, whether they know the answer or not. How do I know that I am saved? How can I be saved? How can I know that if I were to die tonight, I would confess that I would be in heaven with God? Because I can point back to something that is bigger and outside of myself, and that is the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. Because St. Paul's words are clear to the Romans and to us tonight, there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All, every single one, the one who looks like he's got his act together, the one who has no clue what he's going to do next, all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have transgressed his perfect law. None of us deserve heaven. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood. The debt that we owe to God for our mishandling of his name, for worshiping false idols, for making idols of ourselves. The debt that we owe to God for despising our neighbor, for telling lies or slandering him, by not loving our wife or our husband the way we should, by not giving thanks to God for godly children or godly parents. All of these show us that our debts are so great that we can't earn heaven. But thanks be to God, he has given us the victory. He justifies us freely to us, purchased by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The whole price that we owe, the entire debt that we owe to God for in his holiness and our unholiness is so great, we can't even hope to chip away at that debt. The scales are tipped too far for us. But that big word, propitiation, sweeps in. And it shows us that our Lord Jesus Christ takes his perfect life, his perfect fulfillment of the law, and he puts and he says, paid in full. That when our Father looks at us, he looks not at our sin, but he looks to his Son's cross, and he says, you are justified. The debt is paid. You are free to go. That propitiation was paid for by the blood, by the sweat, and by the tears of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God who became man, who was crucified to the tree of a cross. Through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God had passed over. God allowed the pagans to have their false gods. He allowed them to see just a little bit of the truth, but now that word was to go everywhere. You see it proclaimed in the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, that is, make students for the Lord. How do we make students, Lord? By baptizing and teaching. Teaching and baptizing. You show them, you set before them the fact that they know they can't do it. They are struggling in the slime of their life, and they are crying out because they are so far in the hole, there is no hope for them. And then you lay before them Jesus. There is hope for you. But it's not you. It's Him. The baptism of our Lord sometimes causes confusion. I have heard people argue that because Jesus is about 30 years of age, it shows us that if we are to walk by the example of Jesus, that we should not baptize those who are not able to discern for themselves. But the problem with that logic is that Jesus doesn't need what baptism gives. Baptism, we confess, gives the forgiveness of sins. It restores us who were dead to life. Jesus is without sin. He is sinless. He doesn't need baptism. He puts His righteousness into the water that when we are washed, when we are made clean through the blood of the Lamb, we receive His righteousness. That's the great exchange. You lay aside the dirtiness of your old Adam's clothes, and you receive the robe of Christ's righteousness. You have the dirt and the filth among you, and you go and you lay them down at the foot of the cross, and you are washed, you are made whiter than snow. That's the beauty of baptism. You should point back to your baptism, the fact that you are declared a child of God, whenever you begin to doubt your salvation. Whenever you begin to doubt that you really are a Christian, you need to remember that God has done it for you, that God has washed you, that God has worked through that word and through that water and has made you His son, that He has declared you before the whole nations that you are His. When the Lord Jesus comes up out of that water, God the Father sends the Holy Spirit to alight upon Him as a dove. And at that moment, the Father proclaims in a thundering, booming voice, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." When you were baptized, God proclaims the words over you, "You are My Son. I have adopted you into My family. You belong to Me. You are Mine, and I am yours." You have received the gift of the Holy Spirit that drives you to do the will of the Father. Yes, the old Adam desires the world, the devil, the sinful nature that creeps into you. But you have the Holy Spirit. You have God in you right now. And He has called you here tonight. He calls you. He gathers you in. He enlightens you with His gifts. Jesus, before He ascends into heaven, gives this beautiful gift of baptism in His proclamation. He proclaims, and Matthew writes it, Matthew 28. Mark will write about it in Mark 16. This commission, that disciples should follow Him. These students who are taught all that there is about this Jesus, and that they be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promises, He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." We see in baptism that we have died with Christ and we have risen in newness of life. This is a washing of rebirth and renewal, St. Paul writes to Titus. Baptism is something that should drive you back to Jesus day after day after day. When you were baptized, you received the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. When you retrace that branding that was placed on you, you are proclaiming to the devil, to the world, and reminding your own sinful flesh, They can't have you. You belong to him. The one who went to the cross for my sins. That is who I belong to. Not the world, not the devil. We oftentimes forget just how important it is that we are baptized children of God. How important it is to be found grafted into that. Earlier today, I had a phone conversation with a man who was struggling with his own sin. And I reminded him of this. I pointed him to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And it shows us that just because you are a Christian doesn't mean that you haven't in your past struggled with things. It doesn't mean that you've got your act completely together and that you are perfect. But it does proclaim that you are his. And because you are his, it does dictate the way you will live. In 1 Corinthians 6, we read this. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. That list encompasses much of the temptations that we ourselves have within the church. But I told him I would not leave him there because the next verse shows us that because we are his children, there is something more to us. For St. Paul does not stay there. He begins and continues, and such were some of you. You know that many of you who came to faith later in life, you could see the darkness of your life prior. For many who have lived an entire life in faith, sometimes it's harder for us to see what it was like to live in the darkness, even though we lived so much in the world. Such were some of you. Were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Your identity is as a child of God. You have been washed. He has declared you justified by the price of his son's death for you. And he declares you holy. The Holy Spirit lives in you, works in you, works for the Father's will. Be where he is. Devote your life to him. Because he has done it all for you. Let it be true of us as Christians that the were is in the past. And that our identity is wrapped up in the fact that we are washed, that we are sanctified, and that we are justified. Many of us don't literally remember the day of our baptism. Some of you do. Some were baptized later in life. But the fact remains, you go to it daily. And if that day has not yet come, trust that the Lord has grafted you and that he will draw you to the font, that he will wash you and he will proclaim you to be clean on the last day. So as we gather this Wednesday night to celebrate the baptism of our Lord, remember that all of the sins are to be drowned and die with the old Adam, and that we rise to newness of life. Jesus Christ has grafted you into his household. He has declared you his. The church sings, all that the mortal eye beholds is water as we pour it. Before the eye of faith unfolds the power of Jesus' merit. For here it sees the crimson flood, to all our ills bring healing. The wonders of his precious blood, the love of God revealing, assuring his own pardon. Amen.
The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.